This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to ENN. Hi, Don. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I think Dave thinks you're adult.
I'd like to say good evening to Don.
We met at the Hoolands on 17.
I'd like to say good evening to Michael.
I think Dave thinks you're adult.
I'd like to say good evening to myself. No. Oh, I know who. I want to say good evening to Omar.
Have a good summer, Brooklyn Nets.
I don't know if I've ever rooted for a team more than I'm going to root for the Nets. Just to have Omar call up on Monday.
Well, Omar really does, though, embody the really sad and angry Knicks fan, no?
It's not good. It's not what you want.
A little bit pathetic. Like, I get, you know, I get. But, like, why hate the Nets so much? What have they really done to you?
I would really like to sit with Omar watching a net game with his son. You know, he's always talked about, like, he sits. I want to see what that's like. Maybe I could win that prize.
A contest with Omar where you get to spend time with him?
Yes.
And that's winning?
Yeah, I like to experience things. It's the summer of K. You go from a double cheeseburger to sitting with Omar doing a net
summer game. Summer of K.
Michael, did you receive a gift in the mail from that lovely event we went to a couple weeks ago?
You know what?
Together?
I did. Did you?
There's enough alcohol in this gift for me to just go full Nick Cage and leaving Las Vegas and never need to buy another bottle.
You know, I was going to like talk to you off the air. We haven't had an opportunity, but I mean, we were there for a charity, and then for the charity to send us such an extravagant gift, and I'd rather the money stay with the charity.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to drink it like a sailor.
Here's what you should do. Get wasted and then just give a stupid big donation to them.
You know what? That's a great idea.
All right. I know that what I'm going to do is going to gain me no favor, especially during a week in which I've already made myself enemy of the people. If you go to a charity auction,
right,
and buy something for charity,
right,
is it a write-off?
Yes, of course it is.
Huh.
So that's the best way to do it, because you're giving money to the charity, you're getting something back, and you could write it off, which I never – what does write it off mean? It's a great phrase. I have no idea. It's like what Chandler Bing did for a living in Friends. No one knows.
Well, but do you understand what it means in some settings?
Not really. I mean, you could write that off. What does that mean?
Okay, I can give you one setting in which it makes sense. Are you ready?
All right, sure, yes.
Last weekend, I DJ'd the wedding in Jamaica.
Yeah.
Right? I was paid a sum of money.
Okay.
Let's call it $1,000.
All right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. I get paid $1,000. And when I'm on the trip, I have all kinds of expenses related to the trip. Food at the hotel, cab to get there, all things related to the work I was doing. Okay? When I get paid that $1,000 in a lump sum for this gig, I'm going to be taxed heavily for that. Probably like 45%, right?
Yes.
So out of that $450 that I'm now paying in taxes, if I spend $200 on cabs, that $200 gets removed from what I would pay in taxes. I just spent it elsewhere instead.
All right, so if you spent $200 in expenses for your $1,000 gig, you'll only get taxed on $800.
No, I'm still getting taxed on the original. No, yes, exactly. That's exactly okay. Right, because now that comes off of what I made, essentially.
Seems like too much heavy lifting for very little reward.
Well, it's not about heavy lifting or little reward. It's just about being smart if you spend money. It's not about cheating the system, as I hear it from you. It's about the right thing to do.
To save your receipts.
Yeah, that's why you save your receipts if you're spending money in your field, so you don't have to pay taxes on something that you spent money on.
All right, let's move on.
Please.
Also, tell me about your iPhone service. Let's hear from James Harden, who last night was better, was improved clearly from the game before, a little bit more movement, scored more, played 40 minutes again. Here's Harden in the post game on how he's feeling right now.
It's not even about rust. It's about being able to move. So, and I think as day go, you know, day by day, I continue to get better. The last game, game five, was the first time that I even, you know, did any movement or anything like that since I got hurt. So tonight was no different, you know. So I'm out there to do whatever it takes to win. And I got to be better on both ends of the ball, which I will be in game seven.
Now let's hear from Chris Middleton of the Bucks. He said he doesn't feel any pressure for game seven.
I don't think about any type of pressure at all. It's a basketball game, as simple as that. I mean, I know it's lose or you go home, but at the same time, it's just basketball. You know, we got to have fun with it, and those moments are fun when, you know, the game's on the line. Fans don't really see the real talking trash or, you know, the real competitive spirit in open gyms during the summer times when games are close and guys got to get kicked off the court. But, you know, that's a lot where it starts. That's all, you know, I go to in my mind is just thinking about, you know, summer workouts, summertime, having fun. But now it's just an official building with people watching.
That is such crap.
Mm.
I mean, really?
Yeah, if it's true.
He's not playing in a park. It's crap. This is a billion-dollar business. There's a lot on the line. You can have fun because it's just basketball? That's silly. I mean, at its essence, it's a game, but you're playing for a lot, and you're getting remunerated quite well. If he really means that, he's out of his mind.
Well, hold on. What if he just has an incredible pressure threshold and he just doesn't get that way?
Well, if you say, listen, I don't let pressure get to me, I'll buy that more than I don't have pressure. It's just basketball. No, it's not just basketball. It's a huge industry. There are people that depend on you. You're getting paid $30 million a year. It's not just basketball.
Yeah, that to me is something he says to trick himself into taking some of the pressure away from it.
Maybe.
How can it not be pressure? How can you? And I'm not saying he's demeaning it, but how can you lessen like what it means? I mean, winning a championship, it's important. It's something that everybody strives for, and of course there's going to be pressure. Now some people handle it great. Some people are able to. Hey, there's John Candy if you're Joe Montana, right? Like, but they still understand the moment, and there's some pressure. Just some deal with it better. But you don't take the pressure away by making it seem like, well, it's only basketball.
People. It's unbelievable. And we're supposed to buy it.
And by the way, I mean, think about if this team fails, how many kicks at the can are they getting as currently constituted? They'll come back at it one more time. But at some point here, this thing comes apart.
If you're playing basketball at a local Y, right, and you're fouled. Your team is down by one. It's just a game. You're not getting paid or anything. Your team's down by one. No time left on the clock. And you have two free throws. You don't feel pressure?
It's basketball. It's just basketball.
Right. Okay. I'll play along.
When do you, Michael, still get nervous on some level for work?
I get nervous in big moments because you don't want to mess it up. You get judged on big moments. So that, you know, the last out of the Kluber no-hitter, you really want to be good. You don't want to mess it up. You don't want to mess it up for Kluber. You don't want to mess it up for fans. There's a lot of eyeballs on you, a lot of ears. You don't want to mess things up if you're in the eye of the storm. I could just say, well, it's just a baseball game.
I mean, it's just a baseball game. It's just a basketball game. But it matters, right? It matters to people. That's why there's no pressure. If you're sitting there calling the game in your room by yourself,
right,
then there's no pressure. You're going to do a great job because it doesn't matter.
But I'm not saying I tense up, but I get butterflies. It's kind of neat. It's good that you could still feel that when you're doing it for 30 years. I get butterflies. If it's a big game, like tonight, if the Yankees are lucky enough to have 45,000 people, I'm going to look around and I'm going to like get, but you know, really, you know, not jittery, but I'm going to feel good. It's going to be a buzz.
What about opening day of the opening day every year?
Yeah, that's a great feeling, and you don't want to mess it up. And when I go out on the field and introduce the old timers on Old Timers Day, I feel a lot of pressure. I feel a lot of butterflies.
Oh, that one you definitely feel, I'm sure, because that's a different kind of gig. What about, do you get nervous when you host like a big like dinner of some sort in a room of like 1,000 people?
Yeah, a little bit. I was remarkable. I looked at you remarkably when you hosted
North Shore Animal League?
The North Shore Animal League. You know, Howard Stern sitting there, and you didn't seem like you had a care in the world. Oh. That's why you were good.
But I was scared. Those things scare me.
But there's a couple of different things when you say, yeah, there's nervousness, doesn't necessarily mean pressure.
Right.
Like, I guess when you really dissect it, it's just like, if you don't care what people think and you don't care how you're perceived by the fans or the media, then maybe it is just basketball, like, for him. Because he only cares about how he feels about it, how his teammates feel about it. If he goes out there and gives the best effort, win or lose, that's all he cares about. You know, if everybody's going to flip out, tweet about him, write about him, if Stephen A. Smith's going to rip him on SportsCenter, if you don't care about that stuff, then there probably is less pressure.
But there still has to be pressure to perform for yourself. Don't you want to be able to hit the big shot?
Pressure, 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 pressure cooker. Speaking of which, day two, U.S. Open, look at the leaderboard. Richard
Brooks. Beautiful Brooks doing all right?
Beautiful Brooksy has slipped a bit. He's three off the pace at 2 under. Richard Bland's in first place, 5 under.
That guy has no personality, by the way.
He is really a bore. Michael's favorite is 1 off the pace, Louis Oosthuizen, 4 under, along with Russell Henley, and Bubba Watson's there at 3 under with John Rahm and Xander Schauffele. And then Brooks Koepka, 2 under. And
can you do it like you used to do it, give the whole leaderboard?
Yeah, beautiful. Bryson DeChambeau, even. Even. Let me take a look again.
Golf is garbage.
Here's the guy. Westwood. Lee Westwood.
That's it. So keep an eye open this weekend. I know you're a big Oosthuizen guy. This would be Torrey Pines. So as
a
result,
the girl named Torrey Pines.
I'm not going to say anything, but the name Torrey Pines sounds like you perform in a field that's, well, you know what? Let me leave.
I think there was a dancer at my bachelor party called Twin Peaks.
That's Cedon. Nice.
I saw her.
And as a result of it being at Torrey Pines, I mean, there are people teeing off at 4 p.m. They play till 10 o'clock at night.
So where is it?
It's in California.
All right. No, because the reason I say this is because, like, I'm watching the hockey. It's 10 o'clock. And it's in progress on Peacock. They're promoting. So I'm like, where is this? It's 10 o'clock and they're golfing. Yeah, it's California. All right.
Is that where it goes? Is it on Peacock after it's on TV?
Yeah. Yesterday and today was on Peacock, and then it goes to NBC.
Because it was on Golf Channel all day, but now it just stopped. And so my guess is it goes straight to Peacock.
Yes.
Or as some people call it, the...
What do people call it?
Speaking of pressure, Michael Kay was on the Jake Asman show on Sports Map. We know young Jake, and
he's a good man. Young Jake,
he's a good boy, nice man.
He's going to be a big success in this business.
Michael
works hard.
Michael was asked, who would you take in the foxhole with you? Let's hear what the Kayster said.
Definitely my wife. She's the smart one in the relationship, and you know she'd find a way to get out. But if you eliminate a family member, I got to tell you, it's funny. I might take a guy like David Cohen, who I work with on the YES Network, because he's so smart, and something clicks in with him in big moments of stress that he's able to handle it unbelievably. He'd get us out, and he'd get us out alive, but definitely it would be my wife first, and if you eliminate a family member, it would be David Cohen.
Ugh, wow. So lame.
Why is that lame?
Well, first of all, the wife thing is lame. But you even knew that. That's why you say take out a family member. Because nobody means a family member when they ask that question.
Right. Obviously, if you're in the
foxhole. You really mean Cone?
Yeah.
Cone would step over your twitching, dying body. Now, he's a nice guy, believe me. I think he's a great guy. That's who you want in the foxhole.
Who should I have? You know everybody I know. Who should I have?
Say it, Don. Tell the truth. Say it.
Well, you've known Breen more than half your life.
Breen's a very slight man. I don't know. I don't know if he could fight.
Well, then why not Donald LaGreca, the man who's been with you through ups and downs, a man who's strong, could twist a man's head off his live body.
Honestly, I don't think that Don, listen, Don wouldn't pour a Dixie cup of water on me if I was on fire.
See, that's you know what? I'm out.
See, you should take a walk, Don, because that's obviously how he feels about you.
I can finish laughing at Peter's joke.
Tremendous. Exactly. Enjoy yourself.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, let's move along, shall we?
Yeah, we shall.
The Celtics made a very interesting trade today. They obviously wanted to move on from Kemba Walker. Kemba and a first-round pick go to Oklahoma City. In return, the Celtics get Al Horford back. Yeah, isn't that always exciting in a trade when you give up a major player and get a retread? Moses Brown, who's apparently a basketball player, and a 2023 second-round pick. Now, the Celtics also reportedly are getting closer to finding a replacement for Brad Stevens and head coach, including the Nets' Ime Udoka, the Bucks' Darvin Ham, and Chauncey Billups. Let's hear from Kendrick Perkins, who was on KJZ talking about the Walker trade.
I love it, and here's why I love it. For the simple fact, when you look at what Kemba Walker went through the past two seasons, they didn't know when he was going to be healthy, dealing with a knee injury. He wasn't available. And right now you have two rising stars in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum who are being the face of your franchise. To me, Kemba just didn't match well. It's time for Kemba to go. Now they're getting back a familiar face, a stretch four, a guy that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown love playing with, and Al Horford, some picks and everything else. I must say, great job by Brad Stevens in his first big move as the head of the snake running the organization.
Must be awful for Kemba Walker to realize that his coach didn't like him. Couldn't wait to get out.
That is, I didn't even think about how that must feel. When it was the guy you played for who pulled the trigger. Although I guess I should feel good about the fact, two things. One, it clearly hasn't been working out with Kemba. And two, they obviously want to try to do whatever they can to make it work with Tatum and Brown, which is what I want. I don't want them to blow it up. I think those two guys are awesome. So moving Kemba is probably the best thing they could do. Let's hear from Aaron Boone talking about the New York Yankees and their slight offensive resurgence of late?
Well, I mean, part of it is the larger sample size of these guys having a track record of success. But with that being said, I think, you know, even going back towards the end of last homestand, I really started to think the group at bats as a whole started to really tick up. You know, I think they're starting to gain a little bit of swagger and a little bit of confidence that, you know, the old pass the baton, trust the guy behind you, just making it tougher overall on the pitchers as a whole. I think we've clearly seen that get a little more consistent. Still feel like there's room to go, and there's still even higher ground for these guys to get to, but that's what we continue to work towards, and I feel like we're making strides there.
So, there you have it.
I wonder if, they have had a resurgence over the last nine games, averaging 5.67 runs per game. This is a team that couldn't score 2-3 runs. I wonder if it's connected to the sticky stuff. I really do. I wonder if the pitchers are not as good.
Well, runs are up, batting average is up. Now you have games like last night, 2-0 with the Met loss. Not every game is crazy, but, you know, the Giants scored 10 runs yesterday afternoon. Blue Jays themselves, didn't they score 18 against the Red Sox a few games ago? Runs seem to be up. Home runs seem to be up.
And that's the key to the Yankees. If they hit home runs, they'll win games. And they don't score runs if they don't hit home runs. They don't score a lot of runs if they don't hit home runs.
Let's go to actually, let me see how much time I have here.
Not much. 1:32.
No, I have time. Let's go to the other side of town and hear from Luis Rojas talking about Jacob DeGrom's health.
He's in between start routine. Like I said yesterday, we're approaching this day by day. So that was in today's menu. He came in. It felt good. I mean, he went through the progression of being checked and treatment. And he went out there and he threw his usual 10 pitch or something side that he throws the second day after he pitches, and he felt good. So, you know, a very good day, you know, but we're still approaching this on a day by day, you know. Now we'll see how he goes finishing the day and getting, you know, further treatment if he's needed. And then tomorrow, once again, we'll reassess and we'll see how he feels. And then we'll progress into that day, the third day, which is usually a normal side day for him. But, you know, he'll start in the morning, see how he feels, and then we'll progress into it.
We talked a lot about DeGrom and players resting and being smart. Well, on the flip side of that coin, but I love it anyway, the first player officially in for the home run derby is Shohei Ohtani. God, this guy wants to do it all this year. Third in majors with 19 home runs. Of course, a great pitcher. ERA under 2.9, and now he's in the home run derby. That'll do it for ENN on this Friday, June 18th.
Well, I think the perfect way to end this this week is this way.
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
Carlin's coming up next. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Have safe travels. Peter, see everybody.
Colm would step over your twitching, dying body.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.